Good morning. My voice, I got a cold. It was on Tuesday morning. I got this funny little dry spot in the back of my throat, and I'm like, oh no. By Thursday morning, I texted, and I felt like I've never been backed over by a truck, but I think I kind of know how it felt. So it didn't really work out for anyone, and Chad said that he would take it. And I noticed this morning at a little minister's meeting, his voice is worse than mine this morning. So I think he's got what I got. So maybe what I got, you all will get before the day is over. So just bear with me. I'm not going to be talking loud. I'm not going to be doing a lot of projecting of a voice, I guess. I'll be a little more soft-spoken, maybe, than I'm used to doing so. But what I want to look at this morning is kind of one of my favorite times of the year, which is Thanksgiving. And with Thanksgiving coming up this week, I think it's a really good time traditionally, just like at Christmas time, to really look at what we're commemorating. I didn't really look up the history of Thanksgiving, but we always kind of, you know, you see pictures of the turkeys and of the pilgrims, and they were so thankful that I guess they didn't starve that year. But what it really means for me is, or what it should mean for us, is it's time to commemorate and actually stop in our life and just look to God and just be thankful for everything we have. I think it is very, very appropriate to have this kind of a tradition. Some people, us as humans, tend to shy away from tradition for some reason, especially as modern people. But this is one of them I think is really, really good to do. If you noticed, this morning we did not have a time of sharing. And that's for a reason. I asked to not have a time of sharing. What I would like to do, one of two things may happen. I may run out of material, or I may run out of voice. One or the other could happen. But what I have a little exercise, and I kind of played around in my mind. I asked my wife what she thinks. I kind of played around in my mind. But what I want to do, if you have, most everybody has either a pen or a paper, or if you don't have one, get one from your neighbor and write down. I would like for you to write down three things that you're really thankful for. And a piece of paper, sometimes during the message. It doesn't have to be now. And then afterwards, and not all of you, but I would like to, and there's an exercise I want to do with that. So if you can write, I don't care if you're first, second grade, actually now kids can write at preschool. My grandkids are amazing. They can write before I could. But if you can write three things down, and then we have a little exercise to kind of, at the end of the service during the last prayer that we're going to do. But before that, I want to actually have a time of sharing and just share this. Something you're thankful for. Don't go into a small sermonette. Don't have this long spiel. If you're just thankful that God gave you a cat, say, I'm thankful for the cat. I'm not sure of how many of you would be thankful for the cat. But do that. So I invite you to do that, and then when we'll do a time of a little bit of sharing after the message, and then we will do the last prayer. My story that I'm using this morning out of the scriptures for the Thanksgiving message is really, really, really familiar. Turn with me to Luke 17, 11 through 19. I want to look at the meaning of thankfulness before we even get this. Let's open your scriptures there, your phone, and that's the text that we're going to be talking out of this morning. Like I said, very, very, very familiar set of verses, and one of the most fitting verses for this time of year. What is the meaning of thankfulness? And I, again, love to go back to the old original Greek or Hebrew meaning. It gives my scripture so much more depth, I guess, for myself. It came by with three different meanings. And the thing I love about the Hebrew language is there's so many meanings that can come out of one word. We're going to touch on different meanings of different words this morning, of a couple words. But we're going to be looking, but Hebrew does is a really descriptive language if you can study it. It is really interesting. The meaning of thankfulness. This is three different meanings. Recognizing the good. It's just recognizing. If I look at something good, like a good apple the other week, my wife and I were out planting a row of trees along my one property line, and right beside us there, where there was another little plot of trees a neighbor had planted, and on this one tree it was about this tall, and looked like apples. And I was like, that's the weird looking apples. I couldn't decide if it was an apple or a pear. This person came along, and it looked good. It looked great. And she comes and she stops and talks with us a couple minutes. And I said, I am very, very curious. What fruit is that? She said, it is a cross between an apple and a pear. I recognized the good after I tasted it. Very interesting taste. It's just, I'm now recognizing to you that it was good. That's all you're doing. When you're thankful in your heart, you're recognizing the good that you have in your life, in your spiritual life, in your life, even if it is a cat. The other thing about the meaning that it came by with is to thank. You think, okay, to thank. You just said that. The act of admitting that something is good. Not only do we recognize that something is good, but it's the act of actually admitting to ourselves. Sometimes when things happen, some of the best things that happen to me in life, and we'll talk about that for a little bit later, is not always being thankful. I have to admit to myself sometimes that the bad times I had were God's way of walking into my life and taking care of an issue that He wanted to. I have to admit that. This is one that's going to get us Protestant Anabaptists kind of worked up. The other meaning of thankfulness is, and this is an action. The Hebrew language, there I said, I'm not an English major. Maybe we'll get Chad to talk about that. The other meaning, there's an action word attached to thankfulness. And it is the lifting up the hands in emotion of gratitude. Now, am I going to say that we're all going to stand up now and exercise lifting up our hands? No. I'm one of those people. I'm not a big hand lifter. Some of us are. I'm glad you are. But there was something in the old scripture when they praised God, they would lift their hands to the heavens or they would bow. And it was the actual action of thankfulness. I want to read at this point Luke 17, verse 11 through 19. Like I said, it's a really, really familiar scripture. But I'm going to read it in entirety, and then we'll draw some points out of it before we go on. I'm reading the King James Version. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. They lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, or at Christ's feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise and go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Can you imagine? I want to describe the life of a leper. I want you to imagine the life of a leper. If you think that there's something wrong, okay, let's take the story back to beginning of this week when I felt that tickle, that little dry spot in the back of my throat beginning of this week. I thought, oh no, do not tell me I'm getting what everyone around us has been having in my family. I wasn't dreading it, but I was kind of, because I knew today was showing up. Can you imagine if you were an Israelite and you were working some one day and you had a dry patch of skin that wouldn't stop itching? You itch it till it would bleed. So you had to, in time, especially if it really started to really bother, at one point in time, you have to admit, they had to admit they had a problem. Then they had to go to the priest. And the priest would look at it, and there was a certain criteria. He went according to the look of the skin. Is it doing this? Is it doing that? And at that point in time, the priest would say, I think that is leprosy. That in itself would be terrible. If someone came to me and told me that you have a terminal disease, there is something inside you stops. It's your life almost stops. You have terminal cancer. You have terminal something, something. This feeling is what you got when you went in. When the priest, there was a certain time you were supposed to watch this leprosy thing. And then the priest, you would go back into the priest and he would say, listen, it is now, I can guarantee you right now, you have leprosy. The person's world at that point completely dropped out from underneath him. I'll tell you why. Being a leper was one of the loneliest things, experiences that you could ever experience, because what they did at that point, they drove you outside of the camp, outside your city, outside of your home. Imagine if you were that person, that you took one last look at your wife, one last look at your children, one last look at your cat, one last look at your home that you had helped build, your business, your employees, whatever was going on. You took one last look, because there was a very, very good possibility you would never, ever see these people again. In the beginning, they drove them out and made them actually stay by themselves. Now, in time, there was enough of lepers in Israel, they actually had their own places of living together. But the loneliness that you had to be one of the most horrifying things that has ever happened to a person. Not only that, they were forced to look different. They were supposed to make themselves specifically ugly. Not that your fingers falling off and your nose falling off and the things that you had falling off of you wasn't ugly enough. You had to make yourself so unrecognizably, you had to make yourself so recognizably ugly that people would be revolted from you and never want to come close to you. And there was a reason for this, because the disease that you had was contagious. And people had to be able to recognize you from a distance. How many of you this morning stood in front of the mirror when you combed your hair? Tom, you didn't, did you? But most of you women, we all did. I did. A couple minutes. Don't take me long. I'm soon done with the mirror. Imagine looking in the mirror. You had to have your clothes torn. Torn clothes are not pretty. You were supposed to be have your hair uncut and unshampooed and unkempt. Imagine as a lady, the hair to you ladies means a lot more to you than it does, than my hair does to me. Put it that way. It's this thing of beauty that God has given you. That is something you were made to make intentionally ugly. If that wasn't bad enough to make yourself ugly, where people walk up to you and literally go, stay away from me. When you seen someone coming towards you, you had to walk up to them and you had to cover your lip. This is why some people don't like mustaches. They believe that's a sign of that. You had to cover your lip and you yell at the top of your voice that, unclean, unclean. So you had to tell people that I have a disease, I'm ugly, and no one wants me around anymore. verse 12 and 13 gives a little bit of an end to this whole story. These were these men. There was 10 men. These were the 10 men that actually had banded together, and they had actually found comfort in each other's brokenness. This is so often what happens. They sort of far off, and they did what they did, and they said, verse 13, they had heard of a healer. This is what they asked. They said, Jesus, Master, they lift up their voices, they did the law, they yelled at him, basically, don't come any closer. We are broken, we are in terrible, terrible need. But they must have heard, because they knew who Jesus was. They knew that he was Master. And it wasn't even begging. They literally yelled at him, have mercy on us. At this point, what does have mercy on us mean? I'm not sure. But all they asked for is, at this point, have mercy on us. I know they wanted healed. It doesn't say they screamed at him or yelled at him, heal us. Just have mercy on us. We're coming to the right person for mercy. Jesus Christ, one of his biggest attributes he has is mercy. The interesting thing I found just by studying the story a little bit is this. This is something we all have to do. Did you ever notice that Jesus Christ never walked through towns and just healed everybody? Just held his hands out over the town and goes, town be healed. Not aware of it. Or walked into a crowd and he says, all the people in this crowd be healed. Why did Jesus Christ sometimes, most times, kind of pick and choose? And you can say, well, that's kind of harsh for a merciful Savior to be. The number one thing I believe that God wants out of us and his son Jesus wants out of us, if you want mercy, you have to ask. If these 10 lepers would have never asked, they would have never received. If you want salvation, what do you have to do? You have to ask. If you want your voice back by Sunday morning, guess what you have to do? You have to ask. If you want your life changed, you want hurts taken care of, if you want leprosy in your life taken care of, you have to do one major thing, and it's called asking. Just ask. This is where Christ will meet you and move you. Verse 10. I'm reading my reading. It's not verse 10. Cleansing was given to all 10. End of 14. They were cleansed. And it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. Sometimes we have to start walking. And this is what I talked about asking. But this is what I found interesting. So often, blessings came into people's lives after they asked. But what they sometimes have to do, most times what I have to do, as I start walking towards being cleaned and being pronounced clean, I have to start walking. Just because you're walking in a Christian life and you're falling down, you have to get back up, because a lot of times as you walk, that's when you are cleansed. I found it very interesting that they had to walk just like the priest did when they were walking. They had to walk into the Jordan for the Jordan to start parting that time. They all started running. They were all cleansed. That brings us back to the thankful leper. And one of them, verse 15, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. The thing about the Samaritans were this. You think they were, being a leper, you were an outcast? Being a Samaritan leper was even worse. You were lower than dirt. Yet he is the very person, the one with the least amount of hope in this group of Jewish people of 9 that had a leper with them that was Samaritan. It was the lowest of the low of the low that actually got it, that he needs to turn around and thank his healer. Look at how awesome healing is. This accident I had here a couple weeks ago, a month or two ago, however long it was, right after it happened, I felt that thing hit my hand, and I think, oh no, I got a real problem. Today, as of last Monday, was my last time I met with my therapist, because they said that we have done all we can do. Why? My hand is healed. Can you, from up down there, see a gash at all? Do you see bones sticking out? Do you see muscles being cut? All the gory stuff that can make some of us sick. Healing is awesome. Being healed by God is awesome. Being healed in your life and in your heart and saved by Jesus Christ and being healed by Him, I am telling you, there's no other word for that healing in your life is being awesome. It is no feeling better than it. And there is a devil that will do everything he can do to keep you from getting that. It took me many years to get that inner healing. If you're not healing, check for the source of your infection. I told this story one time before. I'm not sure in the church, but I've told it. I will tell it again. I had a friend of mine who had a back operation. They put him back together, and everything was looking good. His back should have been healing just well. And he said everything healed shut except the hole at the base of his spine about this big. That thing drained, and it drained, and it drained. And finally, after a second or third doctor, at least a second, they went back in and reopened him up again and found way up in the wound that was not healing a piece of gauze. There was an infection that would not leave. There was something there that would not leave healing happen. This is what I found interesting. I talked with a guy the other night. He has his own business. He's doing well. Doing very well. Oh, by the way, the wound is healed. Taken care of. He recognized his healing. He stopped what he was doing and noisily glorified God and fell at his feet and he gave thanks. The beautiful picture is this. Do this sometime when you're praying. Envision yourself glorifying God. If you're going to do it noisily, maybe you should find a good closet to do it in. Glorify God and think in your mind or envision in your mind falling at Jesus' feet and giving thanks. Do this with your problems too. I've done this. This is pretty, it really works for me, word pictures for some reason. Envisioning myself taking my burden and laying it at his feet and making sure I leave him there. But sometimes if we're going to be a thankful person, we need to do just that. We need to lay it at Jesus' feet and just do nothing other than worship Him and just thank Him and mean it. What's the attributes of thankfulness? Going back to the Greek on this one. Gratefulness. A blessing said after someone has shown a kindness. You cannot be a thankful person without being grateful. Grateful, I believe, is an expression that is said. 1 Timothy 6:6-8. I want to just look at that really quickly. You don't have to turn to it, but I'm going to read it. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Let me ask you a question. Can you be thankful, grateful, without being content? I can. How does contentment happen? Or discontentment happen? Just look at that for a minute. If you're discontent, something's bothering you inside, and you just bugged. Or there's something about your lot in life right now that's just irritating you. Or you look at your life and you go, I am not where I wanted to be or where I envisioned I would be when I was young. This is what we do. We look on the things of others. They have a bigger house. They farm more land. Their husband loves her more than you do me. It goes the other way too. Discontent happens when we were looking inward, first mistake, and outward rather than upward. Contentment is glorifying God for what He has given in spite of what He could have given. I've noticed something. In my life, He has saved me from myself by doing one thing. By not giving me what I always wanted. His favorite word sometimes to Mr. Paul Martin is this. No. I will say one thing though. Once you truly give up and are thankful for what God has given you, what He has taken away from you, and what He has not given you, and look at your discontentment and walk through your life on that one. I've had to. Why am I being discontent? Well, because I'm letting myself look at other people's blessings, which to their blessings is not my blessings. My blessings are my blessings. And He has saved me. I have a little list that I wrote down of things that I'm thankful for. And then we're going to go into the sharing time after this. This is my little list. And this is what I'll be doing with our little exercise that we have. And make sure you have all you people written down. Find a piece of paper or steal one from your neighbor. This is a good time to be a thief. What am I thankful for? God's love and care. What do I mean by that? God's love made it possible that I can be in His presence. The shed blood of Christ, which is number two, which has made it possible that I can actually be in His presence for an eternity because I am not worthy to be there. I can never be a good enough, contented enough, thankful enough, and a saved enough person unless Christ has washed me. God's love and care, His care is this. He cared, has always cared for me, that He gave me what He knew I needed and gave me the healing that He knew that I really desperately desired. Number three, I'm also thankful for a wife that loves me and has stuck by me through thick and thin and brought a certain beauty into it. She sometimes amazes me. I'm going to brag this for a second. She's all embarrassed, so I'm not looking at her right now. She's a little bit of those people who does decorating her house. She has this little sprig of something flowers she picked up out of dump sure where, just stapled to the wall, and there's a picture frame around it. If I was a guy living by myself, there would be a bare wall, a table, a coffee cup, boom, that's it. If it wasn't for her, that the beauty that she's brought into my life, I would be very, 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 very utilitarian. I'm also extremely thankful for children. I'm doubly thankful for grandchildren. I'm also thankful, really, for a broken mom and dad that still gave me a foundation. Mom has passed on. Dad's still here. I come from a background where our home was not healed. But I am nothing but thankful, not for what they have not done, but what they gave me. They gave me a home. They gave me teaching. They gave me training. There is always something good that you can find in everything in your life. Look at something that you would look at as that is a trial I lived through. Go back and just look. And just be thankful and grateful to God for everything. Find the good. The interesting thing about thankfulness is this. If you're a thankful person, it will shine through. If you're a thankful person, if you're thankful to your core, it will change and transform your life. It will take terrible situations and make them look different. If you're a person who is, when you meet them, you meet these people sometimes. I remember this one, it happened right in front of me. Someone asked a person right in front of me, they said, "So how's your day? What's good about it? Who do you want on your side when you're down? That one? Get out of your ditch." Or the thankful person who says, "You know what, I've been there. Let me help you walk out." The thankful person with a thankful and a content and a grateful heart is a heart that is filled with God. It has to be. Do we have, I'd like to hear what you're thankful for. Do we have mics? If you, a couple of you young men want to just grab those. Okay. I'd like to know what you're thankful for. And I'm going to wait till I get hands up. Ellen?
So you ask us not to sermonize, so I'll just list them, okay? God's keeping power, a really good husband, and coffee.
And your what?
And coffee.
And coffee.
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Got to be good coffee. We had some terrible coffee last week. That's not thankfulness. So.
I'll share my list right next door, and keeping it short. Promise of eternal life. Grateful for that. And the godly, loving wife. Grateful for grandchildren that are loving and believing in Jesus. And I'm thankful for my cats. I shared with you that our cat was missing. Yeah. And Paul, would you pray?
I actually seen that picture on my phone this morning. So yeah,
cat's still living. So
I didn't copy you. My wife, my children, and my parents. So I found it interesting that you kind of stole my thunder.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
You're all good.
We got one over here.
Pants.
Hands. Gotta love my hands. Keep all of them, though. I like that. Go ahead, Ray.
Not trying to be super spiritual, but God's grace.
Mm-hmm.
And then our dishwasher and our house and property.
Thank you. Dishwasher. That way you don't have to do it. Okay, then?
The three I listed is Jesus, my wife, our church family. Not listed, I gave my cat away this week.
My family, my beautiful property, shelter, food, and clothing, and the pastor in the pulpit.
She had to say that. She had to feed me when I get home. So.
The stars in the sky, his sovereignty, and a vehicle.
Thank you. Right up here? I keep pointing at him. Right here. Raise your hand. There you go.
He doesn't like to talk on us. God's power to make it possible to fill our freezer with meat.
That's a good thing.
Thankful for Paul being my brother.
There we go.
The chance to be born in a Christian family.
Perfect. Thank you. Anybody else?
I'm proud to have my wife.
Turn this back on.
Mic on. Yeah, it's on. Got talking to it. There we go. So I'm just glad and happy for my wife. She's been doctoring my foot for over a year, and I still got that hole in the bottom of my foot. It gets so aggravating at times, but I got to deal with it. It's, diabetes, it just don't, it's not a good thing, but I'm just glad that I got my wife to do what she does for me. She puts my shoes down for me. She dresses my feet.
Mm.
She's my baker. She's my nurse. she's my everything.
And she's your helpmeet. Okay. Who's next? I think Lisa, right here. Preston, just spin right around. Just grab Lisa on the way past. There you go. Somebody else have a... Go ahead.
Okay. My first one is I'm glad I was adopted from South Korea. Not that Korea's bad, but I mean... but I'm glad I was adopted into... Christian parents, and then the other is I wouldn't say this would be a thankful thing, but I mean not that when my mom died, but I'm glad my foster brother. Became a Christian. That was the other best thing in life. That he became a Christian through all this, and I can finally forgive myself through the accident. When my dad was alive, He said it was never my fault. He said, before he died, he said, you got to forgive yourself and live a peaceful life, then you got to work on it. Took a lot, and I guess that's what I gotta be thankful.
You missed one. You have to be thankful. You missed one thankfulness, though.
Yes.
You should be more thankful for marshmallows.
Yes. I would like to ask the congregation to. Keep praying for me so I can forgive myself.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really struggle.
That's a big one.
Yeah. So thank you.
Thank you, Lisa.
I'm thankful for my parents and for Sam's parents. And I also, like Ray, am thankful for my dishwasher. This last year, it had a mind of its own and it would not work. And then it would work. And then it would not work. And I don't know, the Lord just, I would pray, God, please help this dishwasher to work. And he's healed it, and it works every time I turn it on, and I'm so thankful.
Praying for your dishwasher, that's an interesting. Over here. We have another one. Go ahead, JR.
I'm thankful for things I don't have. I don't have to worry about mom and dad when I was younger, that they loved each other. I don't have to worry about my wife. She's always there. And I don't have to worry about God never giving up.
Thank you.
I'm thankful for a real Christian heritage. And it was a tremendous example, not only in teaching, but in living. And my parents, I think safely say, I don't remember them ever arguing. They seemingly had a good agreement in their lives. And they didn't leave my brother and I fight either. They taught us peace.
I'm grateful for a hard-working husband. Sometimes he works too hard. I'm grateful for my mental health. It's been a long 3-year journey, but I'm finally where I want to be with my mental health. And I am thankful for my children, even though they've been bickering for the last 5 minutes. I still love them.
If you're here anyway, give you my short list. Like you said, I'm thankful for a wife that brings beauty to the home. Be pretty plain, like yours, I'm sure. And many other things. Second one, I'm thankful for less cats. I guess that's the theme today. We've had many, and we don't have many right now. It's nice. And the third thing is nature. I'm on the road quite a bit every day, and just... I enjoy deer, so I'm always looking for them, and then you see deer and you see other stuff as well.
Thank you. Was there anybody else over here? Where's the other mic at? It's disappeared on me. Someone over here has that? Right there. Okay, go ahead.
I am thankful for a godly husband and children. And it is really nice to have a house to be able to see outside this year. And also for a godly father, and I'm grateful that his cancer hasn't spread.
Perfect. Thank you. Okay. Anyone else? We'll take one, or let's take two more if we can.
I'm thankful for God's grace. That's why I named my company Grace Transport. I'm really thankful for God's grace. After having gone through what I did this year, I'm grateful that I feel good. Even this morning, a couple of people said, "How are you feeling?" I feel great. I don't feel any different than I did prior to that. But anyways, I feel good. When you asked to write down, I wrote down all my tools. You mentioned... identify with that. I am grateful that I have tools to work with. And being the theme is cats here, I have several that you can have if you can catch them.
Take one more.
I'm thankful, especially for my family. My wife has helped me, and my children is a blessing from God. Also for my spiritual family, each one of you. According to one report, only 13% of this world have 10 or more friends. So if you're in a church and you have 100 people supporting you, I wonder how small that minority is. I felt that support when I had my accident. It's major. Also thankful for freedom to worship. A lot of people don't have that freedom. And I'm thankful for my health and sound mind.
Thank you. All right, what we're going to do, and this is going to sound kind of Pentecostal, I agree. If you have your list, I want you guys to stand. Go ahead. And then after that, we're going to have a song. Jay's going to lead us in a two verses of a song. But take your list. I have mine here. I want you to hold it up. You don't have to go. Just hold it up. You have a list. If you don't, if your husband has, like Bonnie, just have him help you. There you go. There we go. Let's thank God for this list, or these lists. Father God in heaven, we thank you so much. We pray that your spirit, we know that your spirit is here. God, walk among this crowd. And dear God, I pray that you would see that for the things that are so large to us that you have given to us. God, you have given us families. You have given us wives. You have given us children. You have given us peace. You have given us, God, you have given us so much healing. We thank you so much for your son's blood that has made this possible. God, we pray that this list that we have, each one of us has in our hands, help us to look at this going forward. There's sometimes that our relationships can fall apart or their relationships can be tough. But God, we just pray that you would always, always, always bless us. Thank you so much for this service this morning, God. Help us to be always thankful towards you. Help us to receive your blessings from you and give the honor and the glory back to you, because God, this is what we have to do if we're a grateful people. Thank you so much. We pray in Christ's name. Everyone said, amen. And we have two verses of the song. It's number 2 in the Song of Faith and Praises.